I'm seriously thinking about sporting an eye patch. Padded Room Podcast, flagship of the Padded Room Network. My name is Darian. I've been called the murder house of horror podcasting. Buddy is in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been called the asylum of murder podcasting. Horror podcasting. Murder podcasting is something completely different that we do not condone here in the Padded Room.
Not yet.
We are without... It's true. Well, speaking of which, we are without Miss Monica this week. Her dog has some kind of vaginal seepage.
Yeah.
Green? Said it was green.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Apparently that dog's been going to, like, swingers parties or something.
Yeah, right? The only thing I was thinking is, like, does that mean it's eating a lot of grass?
No, I think that's an STD, man. I think that dog gets around. Yeah. Going to the wrong bars, apparently.
Everybody, you know what?
Huh?
I got my voice back.
You do?
Yes.
You sound like a normal human being. That's good.
I contemplated coming in going,
hey, how are you doing? Hey, it's, I don't know about this movie.
Right?
No, man, we need the full Buddy experience. We can't be half-assing it with Buddy. So let's all wish Monica's dog a speedy recovery and probably lay off the martinis a little bit.
And a very small vet bill.
I hope so, yeah. I don't know. What is there, like, antibiotics for dog STDs?
I've never even heard of them.
Me neither. Green vaginal seepage.
Ugh.
Dude, forget it. I don't want any part of it.
That's why you get male dogs.
Now, well, they get the cruds just as easy, you know? My puppy, he puts that thing in anything he can find. When the lipstick comes out, dude, it's game on. Stuffed animals, pillows, what else? Football. He went to town on a football, Nerf football.
Wow. Time.
Yeah, threw that fucking thing out. I don't want it in my house anymore.
Right?
Apparently, some of us find it arousing.
Ugh. It kind of looks like a dog.
Hey, you know.
It's not moving.
I'm not too picky. All right, you maniacs, we got the regular shit show to get into here. We got horror news, we got listener mail, we got all the usual nonsense. I feel like getting into a little horror news, buddy. What do you think of that?
Sounds good.
Horror news.
Booyah. What do you got for me, big guy?
All right. So Sci-Fi has axed the annual Twilight Zone 4th of July marathon in favor of Elm Street marathon. What do you think of that?
I'm okay with that. If I remember right, they did the 4th of July marathon and then a New Year's Day Twilight Zone marathon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't... do we need... I mean, I like the Twilight Zone, but I don't think I need it twice a year.
Right. Well, so starting off at 6:30 in the morning, Nightmare on Elm Street, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then at 4:30, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, and then after that at 6:30 p.m., they will air the Lake Placid Legacy.
Well, that's not really a 24-hour marathon then, is it?
No, it really isn't.
All right.
It's like a day marathon.
Yeah, and it's not even all the movies.
Right?
Dude, Sci-Fi can fuck up anything.
Right?
I'm sure of it. They can fuck up anything. Congratulations, Sci-Fi.
However, if you really like the Twilight Zone, they are going to air it on... what station is this? Decades TV Network, whatever that is.
Oh, what the hell?
I don't know. So, starting at 7 a.m.
All right. Well, there you go. Check that out. If you have Decades,
Phantasm 3, Lord of Dead, and Phantasm 4, Oblivion, is finally getting a standalone Blu-ray release. Not sure yet what the special features are, but it's coming out.
Those are the worst Phantasm movies. The only ones worse than the only one worse than that is Ravager, which I think is complete garbage.
Yeah, that's junk.
You could really, if you're in a Phantasm mood, stop at 2, I think, is a good place to stop.
Yeah,
that's before we get into extraterrestrials and interdimensional crap.
Mm-hmm.
I like a tall man. I like him killing people. I don't want to feel sorry for him.
Right.
You know, when that happens, then I'm out.
Yeah, definitely. Funko previews more Gremlins pop vinyl toys, including flashing Gremlins. See that?
Flashing Gremlins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's a couple pictures.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's what we need. Perved up Gremlins.
Perved up Gremlins.
Just what I wanted.
On Funko. Yeah, so they're coming out later on.
Okay.
That's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, let's take a look here. How about a Scream Factory Blu-ray coming out of Trick or Treat?
Oh.
The new one, not the old one with Ozzy Osbourne.
Right, the Trick R
Treat. Trick R Treat, yes.
I like that.
The pirate version.
Yes.
I like that, too. It's going to have all the cool special features. You know how Scream Factory does it. They always load them up with special features. I'm into that, but I'm in a weird phase in my life where I kind of want to downsize all this shit. But I'm old school because I got a whole cabinet here full of horror movies, kids. Mm-hmm.
Couple cabinets.
Yeah, yeah, and I got to build another one because I'm running out of room on that one.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of wanting to downsize this, but at the same time, I like having the hard copy. You know, in my hand. Because, like, I can upload a lot of this crap to the to a cloud.
Right.
But at the same time, I still like having the physical copy.
I'm the same way.
In case, you know, the fucking cloud rains or whatever. Whatever happens with the cloud.
Right.
Yeah. And then I'm fucked. So, I like doing that. But I don't know if I want to. If it's going to be Shout Factory, it's probably going to be about $40. And then in a year or two, they'll drop it down to $20. So, I might just hang out on that. Yeah.
Huh.
Speaking of Funko, Funko's new cereal line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, is going to be launching with a Freddy Krueger and a Jason Voorhees cereal.
Oh, boy.
I don't want either one of those in my mouth. I don't want it, buddy. It says, but think about what that's going to taste like. The Jason Voorhees one is probably going to taste
metal.
Like tree bark. Ugh. No. I don't want to taste that.
Yeah, tree bark.
Ugh.
Or swamp.
Yeah. It's got teenage sex. Well, actually, I might actually want to try that one out.
Right. Is it green?
Oh, no. What has your dog been up to, Monica? Maybe you need to have a talk with a dog. Looks like Taco Bell is recreating the futuristic Taco Bell from Demolition Man at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
All right.
That'll be kind of cool. You remember the Taco Bell in Demolition Man?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 4-star restaurant and a maitre d' and everything.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be something to check out. Speaking of Scream Factory, they have also announced a House on Haunted Hill remake is getting the same Blu-ray treatment. Hmm. That one I might shell out the $40 for. I really like that movie.
Yeah.
That's I'm into cool. that. I'll definitely check that out. And it looks like images from Tales from the Hood 2 are already up at Bloody Disgusting. Keith David taking over for Clarence, whatever that other guy was. I'm into that.
I'll definitely check it out.
I'll check it out. It's going to be a bunch of social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was not as much, but it was late 90s, if I recall. It was all right, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We'll see.
We'll check it out. That's all we got on the horror news, baby dolls. How about a little listener mail action?
Yeah.
Oh, listener mail.
Listener mail.
What do we got here? Emails, voicemails, all that business. Let's start it off. With a brand new Patreon subscriber! Ah! Yeah! It's Lance from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Lance!
Lance is in the house.
All right.
This is good news for us. It's bad news for Monica. I've been talking to Lance. I've been texting him the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah?
He's already got a plan for September.
Oh.
Piss Monica off month is what it is. He's got a whole menu of movies that he knows is just going to fire her right off. Oh, yeah. It's a good thing she's not here, but I'll shoot her a text later.
Right?
Beautiful, Lance. Thank you so much for your donations, amigo.
Yes, thank you so much.
And with that being said, here he comes, the man himself. It's Lance. Subject line, Terra Dome. Dear Padded Room crew, this week I have to take Freddy over Dr. Fibes. Yeah, just figuring that. Mm-hmm. Because even the good doctor needs to sleep. I also take the puppets over the Firefly family. While these inbred hicks are busy giving each other hand jobs, Tunneler splits Otis in half by sodomizing him. Leech sets the babies free onto Baby. Six Shooter causes Captain Spaulding to go into fits of hysterical laughter, yelling, "This little cowboy is fucking funny," then blows him away while he is doubled over with laughter. And Blade makes sure Mother Firefly never has another brood by slitting her throat. That's pretty much that. Lance from Texas.
All right.
Very cool, Lance. Thanks a lot, man.
Mm-hmm.
Your votes are locked in. These matchups are going pretty much the way I had expected them to.
Yeah.
A couple of blowouts, probably. But who knows?
Who knows?
Voting ain't over yet. Let's go to Oakland, California with Angel.
Hey, Angel.
My pod girlfriend. Subject line, Freddy Kills. Yeah. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I figured.
Yep.
Hey, guys. For Terror Dome, I'm going to take Freddy on the singles and Puppet Master Dolls and groups. Come on, Angel. Two more for the Puppet Master Dolls. Also, I was listening to a review podcast on Hereditary, and someone was saying they didn't understand why people keep making the comparison to The Exorcist when it seemed more reasonable to compare it with The Shining. So that ties right in with how you guys kept talking about how Monica hates The Shining. I'll be interested to hear the rest of the Padded Room's take on it. That's all for now. Angel. I'm going to watch that movie at some time in my life, and I will let you know at that point, Angel. From Sydney, Australia, here comes Tim.
Hey, Tim!
Tim's in the house. Subject line, Terra Dome and Halloween stuff. Hey, guys, Tim here. So for Terra Dome, I'm taking Freddy and the puppets. Yeah, fuck. These are not very good fights. I'd venture to say they're already over, actually.
Right?
I'd rather the Firefly family win, but I'm going off what would most likely happen. Boys and Trees was a decent show to answer Darian's inquiry about Halloween in Australia. Yeah, it's not as well received over here. In the last 10 years, things have started to pick up more and more, and people are getting on board. Back in the 90s, when I was a kid, hardly anyone went trick-or-treating. You would get every second house say, "Oh, that's an American thing, get out of here." And those houses would most likely result in eggs and toilet paper being thrown at them. Attaboy, Timmy.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
That's right.
I'm happy to see it becoming more of a thing now. I guess the baby boomers are slowly dying out, and us cool hip people are becoming parents and allowing it to happen. Anyway, that's all from me. Till next time, kisses and hugs. Thanks for writing in, Tim.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Bring the gift of Halloween to these savages. Here comes Sean, right here in Reno, Nevada.
Hey, Sean.
Subject line, votes and immersion therapy. For singles, I think Freddy has this one. Fucking, yeah. Yep. I had a feeling you'd say that, Sean. But Freddy has this one. I think Fibes could put up a decent fight, but I think Freddy would come out victorious in the end.
Mm-hmm.
For teams, this one definitely goes to the puppets. They are way too smart and methodical to be taken out by the Firefly family. I agree with you on that one. I had apparently seen Boys in the Trees some time ago and didn't even realize until probably 30 minutes into the movie. That said, it's not a bad movie, but it's obviously not a very memorable one either. That's right. It for me, Sean. Once you figure out what's going on with that kid, then it kind of becomes mathematical mm-hmm. in a weird way. But we'll get into that in immersion therapy.
Yep.
Here comes Crackhouse Matt from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, Matt.
Subject line, Terra Dome picks. What's up, Darian, buddy, and Monica? Hope all is going well and none of you have any limbs falling off or anything this week. Well, we do have a vaginal excrement problem.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're good. Wanted to get my Terra Dome picks in this week. I almost forgot who was fighting, but then I looked at the handy 2018 Terra Dome bracket sheet and quickly found this week's matchups. For singles, I will take Dr. Fibes over Freddy.
All right.
There we go. Take Dr. Fibes. What the... It may seem like a bit of a reach, but I feel that while Freddy may be good at infiltrating the dreams of innocent children, I think he might find himself in his own nightmare if he tries to enter the dreams of a genius psychopath like Dr. Fibes. Plus, Vincent Price for the win. For the teams this week, I will take the Puppet Master Dolls. I really like the Firefly family, but I don't think they'd know what to hit them with before it was too late. Okay. I haven't written much about it lately, but I am still doing great with the weight loss. I am down a total of 79 pounds now since the beginning of the year.
Wow.
Damn, dude. I like that, Matt. Well done.
That's awesome.
I haven't been running as much just due to my crazy summer schedule and family ordeals, but I am still getting a good run in at least once or twice a week. Staying very strict on the diet, which has kept me making progress. 20 pounds to go, and I'll be at my goal weight of 190. Should hopefully hit that by Halloween. Hope you all have a fantastic 4th of July. Remember, there is no better way to celebrate the independence of your country than by blowing up a small piece of it. Be safe, though, and try not to burn down the place. Crackhouse Matt. I'll do my best, Matt. I'm not making any promises,
That's
though.
Right.
Let's go to jolly old England. With Emma.
Hey, Emma.
Subject line, hello. Just sending in my votes. Singles, Freddy. Yeah, fuck. Teams, Firefly family. I think these fights are already over, dude. Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing in, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Crease. Hey, oh, speaking Crease. Of Crease, we got some actual email actual mail this week. Crease was nice enough to get a picture of Barbara Crampton signed for us. The picture is from Beyond, and it says, "To the padded room, get me out of here, Barbara Crampton." So thank you very much for that, Crease. That was badass.
That is so awesome.
I got to make some wall space in here because I want to hang that somewhere predominant. So thank you very much for that, Crease. You're awesome. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Subject line, still got a needle in my arm. Not finished with the boys in the trees. Got to get my votes in. Dr. Fibes and Puppet Master Dolls. Fibes making a comeback.
Whoa.
No, not really. Very cool. Thanks for writing in, Crease. Here comes Melissa from Arizona.
Hey, Melissa.
Subject line, three blue hearts. Three emojis. Blue hearts.
Love, love, love.
Hi, guys. Hope all is well and families, too. I have to keep this short and to the point, and I am sorry for that. I've spent last week catching up on episodes I missed from working so much that I feel like it's been forever since I heard you guys. I haven't been able to watch the feature film, but I did get a chance to watch Boys in the Trees. Very weird, but for some odd reason, I was enjoying it. And then the end. What the fuck? I liked it. Yeah, that ending is... they're trying to tug on the old heartstrings, Melissa, is what they're doing. Really quick, my pick. Singles, Freddy.
Yeah.
Teams, Puppet Master Dolls. Uh-huh. Real quick, on a serious note, for you with the little ones, be in their lives, be in their business. And I don't mean in a parent stalker annoying way. Let your kids open up to you and tell you anything they want and be there for them, without judging why they asked for help or why they question things in life. Pay attention and notice the small things in their demeanor and talk to them and help them. This morning, my daughter's boyfriend took his life. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Boy, that just hit a fucking note, didn't it? Holy crap. Wow. All right. I guess we're going there. This morning, my daughter's boyfriend took his life, and while I'm completely sad for his parents and her, I can't help but think my daughter could have been part of it. His parents were so worried about her that they sent sheriffs to my house to check on her. My daughter and I are super close, and I have been a mess and have no idea how to keep her calm. I can only thank God for his family, who have made their participate in their process of mourning today, and thank God for an ex-husband who dropped everything to stay in town and be at her side. Like a pain in the ass, just for her. I've never cried so much to hear her talking and every now and then force a laugh with her friends right now, who also dropped everything, including their own jobs, to be by her side. I think I know how I think I know how she will handle this, but for the first time in 22 years, I'm not sure how well I've done my job as a parent. And I'm scared to death that I'm about to find out. I'm sorry I use this as a hotline, but I just want the chance to use this experience to let anyone know, be there, be aware, and listen to your children. She handled the situation far better than I expected today, and I'm glad that she feels at ease to discuss it with all of us. So, now that I made the short story long, I better go. Love you guys, Melissa. God damn, man.
Damn.
Well, thank you, Melissa, for taking the time to write in.
Yeah.
I sincerely hope your daughter's okay and you're okay. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, pay attention to the people around you. Yes, and
good advice.
You know, that's really all there is. I mean, there's more to it, obviously, but Jesus.
Wow.
You never know when somebody needs help, buddy. Mm-mm. And there's a lot of people that just don't, like, I'm not a guy that asks for help, ever. That's just, it's like a character flaw. I do not. If I have to, like, actually ask somebody for help, I feel that it's a failure on my part, and I kick the shit out of myself for it.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing, it's like, hey, can you help me lift this real quick and get it in my, that's one thing. But right. It's like, I need to borrow $1,000. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But some people need it, regardless of whether they're asking for it or not, and that's something you got to be on the lookout for, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Kreese coming in again. Holy shit, that movie was heavy. Yeah. On that somber note, Kreese, and you kind of knew from the start how it was going to end because we watch a lot of movies, but it was right. A good journey. She's talking about Boys in the Trees, obviously. Makes me appreciate the friends I have, a lot of which I met before high school. One I technically met in preschool. So I am different, as you all know, but I was never made to feel that way. I was never alone. I am very fortunate, and movies with these stories make me realize how much. The world can be scary. Appropriate loves and hugs, Kreese. Hmm. Yeah, thanks for writing in, Kreese. This whole fucking show just took like a down, like a nosedive.
Right?
Right?
We should have like some circus music.
We should. Let's, get some dwarfs in here or something.
No, no dwarfs.
Get Deacon in. Yeah, you got a problem with that. Get Deacon in here. Sing us a song or something. Alrighty, well, that was it on the emails. Let's get into some voicemails. Let's start it off in Alabama with the hotel of people that call into the podcast.
Howdy, Lane, what's up? What's up, everybody's man? Doing good. Hope Deacon had a good birthday.
Oh, he did.
Anyway,
he's still recovering from it.
Pterodome, give me... And teams, give me Fireflies. And in singles, give me Dr. Fives. I don't know who Monica is. That song you played, that was awesome. Anyway, I think that's all I got this time around. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
He sounded hungover.
Yeah.
A little bit. Alan, you doing all right? Do you need some help?
Hungover, tired.
Tired. Beat up, maybe. I don't know.
Beat up.
You never know.
A little backdoor wrestling.
Yeah, it could be. I might be going back to the circus. Right on, Alan. Votes are locked in. Yeah, Deacon had a pretty good birthday. We haven't done his official birthday party yet, but we took him to Chuck E. Cheese and the Splash Park yesterday. He's been running on fumes since about 3 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
But he's just been having so much goddamn fun that he won't give it up and go to sleep.
Right. Well, yeah. Why would you?
Exactly.
Let it ride.
That's what he says. Here comes Tom Hardy from Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Minus his pod girlfriend today.
Yeah.
Hey, old padded room. Coming in a bit subdued here because I'm calling kind of undercover, if you will.
Okay.
Anyway, I had to get in my Terror Dome pits.
What do you got?
Let me get Freddy Krueger. I know you guys had some arguments for Dr. Fives, but... This is the one chance I'll give to Krueger here.
Okay.
Gets in the dreams of that fool. I don't think we're going to see nothing more from him.
Okay.
Secondly, give me the Firefly family. Y'all were making some serious arguments for why the puppets are, and they're just like crazed maniacs and whatnot, but I'll definitely take them. Oh, hold on, that's not... All right. Yeah, I'll definitely take them, the Firefly family.
You got it,
Tom. I actually like them guys. I actually like those flicks, too. And I was thinking about, man, that's some good old flicks. And then I watched The House of a Thousand Corpses again. Oh, yeah, Sherry Moon Zombie. That's some good stuff right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's
exactly
And then
right.
I was like, the whole time she's doing that little giggly laugh. And I was thinking to myself, man, it's like the person that was doing the voiceovers or whatever is like, okay, we just need you to kind of laugh like crazy and silly and crazy-like. And then they kept doing it. And she's like, told the director, happens to be the husband, you know, hey, don't worry, you know, we'll just edit this in when we need it. We'll just leave it all there right now. But then we'll just edit it down. We won't have it so fucking much in there.
No, I think
And then they just forgot to do something or what have you. Anyway. Last thing I wanted to mention. You guys were talking about the old Italian giallo flicks the other week.
Yeah.
And how it's like, shit, man, some of that stuff doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, it's like fantastic, it's good and all that, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
That's true.
I actually, a while ago, was doing some reading on the old giallo flicks. And apparently, like when Dario Argento and Lucio Fulci were doing those movies in the old times, in the Italian cinema, it was a very, like, social thing. So people would be talking during the movie. So the story is not actually as important as the visuals. Huh. So you get something like Terror at the Opera, where it's like, oh, this girl's, like, she's been held up by this dude, and all of a sudden, you know, she's got those needles placed under her eyes and whatnot, and then all of a sudden, she's just going to work the next day. Like, what the hell? Well, apparently, because it was so, back then, you know, like I said, like, people would just be talking like normal during the flick.
Right. Okay.
It was more about the visuals than the actual storytelling. Anyway, folks, love you like family. I'll talk to you later now. Bye.
I love you too, Tom Hardy. That actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so when I start watching this, I'm just start having a conversation. That way.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be the poor schmuck at the movie theater shushing everybody. Yeah. Some of us are trying to watch the goddamn movie. Beautiful. That is all we have on the listener mail this week, my friend. Do you have anything for... You know what? Let me just double check, make sure we're... Oh, looks like we got a last-minute entry here.
All right, who is it?
All the way from Salt Lake City, it's our main man, Troy.
Woohoo! Hey, Troy. Let's
see what Troy has to say.
Hey, what's up? This is Troy.
What's going on, Troy?
How you guys doing?
What's Good. Up? Good.
Anyway, start off with Terror Dome picks.
What do you got?
I will take Dr. Five.
There you go.
Because I'm sick of Freddy Krueger, and I think that Dr. Five can outwit him, even in a tree. He doesn't drain. Dr. Fives doesn't, he sleeps like in a coma with his dead wife.
That's true.
In their mirrored coffin.
Which is kind of, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah, so really.
He's immortal.
It's all automated,
or
too.
A vampire, a zombie. So I think he can outwit old Frederick Krueger.
I would
anyway,
agree.
Anyway, the groups, I'm going to have to go totally with the puppets, the puppet master puppets. I think they strength in numbers, even though they're only like maybe, you know, foot high. You know, I think they'll take the Fireflies out. There's what, only five or six of them or whatever.
Something like that.
I think they can out beat them. Anyway, I did see the movie Domestics and did like that.
It's a good show.
Pretty interesting. It was a little bit kind of like a needed a piece in there somewhere, but it was still awesome. Good interview with the director.
Thanks, man.
I think you kind of threw him off with a non-scripted interview. I think he probably, you know, had the typical, you know, direct questions that are here, read this, answer this. He kind of just went off the cuff, so he kind of felt a little like, you know, you threw these curveballs. So, yeah, good interview.
Thanks, man.
Maybe you can try to get a few more. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys take it easy. Have fun. And have a good safe 4th of July. Don't get too fucked up. And talk to you later.
Not making any promises there either, Troy. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, man.
How many interviews have you think you've done total?
Most of the interviews have been with other podcasters. As far as like directors have gone, I've done two, well, including Mike Nelson, I've done two directors, one porn star, and one board game creator. and a shit ton of other podcasters, I think. Huh. Right? There might be somebody I'm forgetting. I don't know, like probably like 20, 25 total. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right on. That was cool. I like talking to Mike Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
You see, he was a friendly guy. Mm-hmm. That goes a lot farther than, you know, somebody that's coming onto my show just to pimp their product.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you. I was not sucking his dick about the domestics. I thoroughly enjoyed that show. I love a post-apocalyptic movie that is not a complete bummer.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a hard equation to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the domestic comes out, we'll have to do that for the big show. Give it the full treatment.
Yeah.
I think you guys will dig it too.
Tag him in it.
Fuck yeah, man. Right on. And that was about it on the listener mail, amigo. Do you have anything for Troy, Kreese, Melissa, Tom Hardy, Emma, Crackhouse Matt, Alan, Sean, Tim, Angel, Lance, or anybody else?
Thanks, everybody, for calling and writing in.
Absolutely. Terradome's locked for the week. We have to get ourselves into a movie, dude.
Oh, boy. I'll just be outside.
Yeah, I think I can handle this one on my own. It's going to take about 6 minutes.
It's going to be very quiet.
Very quiet. I'll just stare at the microphone for a while.
Hello. My name is Dr. Mercurio Arborea, and I am the founder of the Arborea Institute. Through our unique blend of benign pharmacology, sensory therapy, and energy sculpting, we can guide you to a new, better, happier you.
Beyond the Black Rainbow from 2011. Written and directed by... Hey, wake up, will ya? I'm working over here, buddy. It's written and directed by Panos Cosmatos. Stars Eva Bourne, Michael Rogers, and Scott Hylands. It's a good thing Monica decided not to come in today.
Oh, man.
Because she would have kicked me square in the nuts.
Right?
Before I even let her in the door. Yeah. She would have came through an air conditioning duct, kick me in the nuts, and then probably ziplined right back out of here. Oh, Jesus. I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of dig it, but not in a way where I would watch it again.
Definitely not.
I mean, fuck. We're looking at an hour and 50 minutes here.
That was a long
movie. It is a long fucking movie, and there is vast chunks of this where it's just a guy looking at a clipboard.
Yeah.
And it's very stylized, set in 1983. Everything looks very 1983. I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, fuck, dude. It's just...
They could have chunked this down to like an hour 20.
Easily. This could have been an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anyway. We open up with, I guess, a very half-assed 1983 infomercial for something called the Aboreas Institute.
Uh-huh.
I got a very Scientology vibe from this business. You too?
Yeah, me too.
Okay. It's like a an infomercial, like a little 30-second commercial for this guy, and his name is Dr. Mercurio Arborea, and he has founded the Arborea Institute, and what he's promising is pretty much tantamount to Scientology, a happier, healthier you through technology. It's a pseudo-religious kind of a deal, like intensive psychotherapy coupled with modern technology is going to make you into a better person. And there you go. It's probably, you're probably going to have to pay a couple grand for this. And that's how it goes down. But he makes a reference in this infomercial to his chief researcher, a guy by the name of Barry Nile, Dr. Barry Nile. Thing about weird religious cults, they can just give each other titles.
Right.
I seriously doubt either one of these yahoos had a doctorate in anything other than... heroin use and bad haircuts.
Yeah.
Which turned out to not actually be a haircut, but we'll get to that in a second.
Right.
All right. So that's the start of the movie with this infomercial. It's very creepy, very, very Scientology-esque. And I don't know, man. It didn't leave me with a very good taste in my mouth. But now we're going to the Arborea Institute. And we're going to get a kind of a – I got like a fire starter vibe.
Oh, yeah.
From this situation here.
A little bit.
We have the chief researcher, Dr. Barry Nile, and he has a young lady in what appears to be a safety cell. Glass wall, very Hannibal Lecter-esque, if it, Silence of the Lambs took place in 1983. very stark cell. One bed, again, with this early 80s Art Deco thing, where it's like... completely barren, but there's a TV inlaid in one of the walls.
Yep.
The bed, like, protrudes from the wall. There's one chair and then this glass wall in which Dr. Nile talks to the young lady. We're going to meet this young lady. Her name is Elena, and she... well, she doesn't really talk, but I got the idea, and I could be completely off base, that she had some kind of psychic ability. Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's what I got.
Like telekinetic, possibly telepathic for sure, possibly telekinetic. Doesn't talk, and because this movie is so long, we get like vast stretches of just Dr. Nile staring at Elena through the glass wall. Elena's sitting in her chair with her hair covering her face like Samara, and
he's breathing sexually.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I get what's going on? What is happening here? If you're going to squeeze one out, then go in the bathroom or something. I don't know what you're doing. But the thing is that the research area of this, like the lab area, is very 1983. So a lot of red lights and blue, red and blue lighting. How do you get any work done with that? It's impossible.
There's no way.
I had, for a good 2-year span, I had pet snakes. And when you have pet snakes, you have to keep them in a heated atrium type of a thing with red lamps. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, my room in my apartment was lit up red like that.
Wow.
It becomes mind-bending after a while. You know what I mean? Because like everything, you go out and then you go out like into the daylight.
Oh, yeah.
And your eyes are all fucked up and you're kind of dizzy for a second. It really screws you up.
Wow.
And that's not staring at a DOS computer screen. That's going on about your business. It's very weird. But that's how we're rolling. That's what's going on. To prove our point, Dr. Nile is going to... He's got like the intercom going with Elena and he's asking her questions. She's not replying. She's not even speaking to him or acknowledging him. So he starts tapping his pen on his clipboard in a very annoying, like, monochromatic way.
Going faster and faster.
And then apparently she like uses her telekinesis to make him stop. And he's like, "That's my girl."
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So that's, I guess that was your big test or whatever.
Yeah. Way to go.
All right, weird. Weirdo. I mean, it's cool that they have this psychic chick, and that's what's going on. But now we're going to follow Dr. Niall home. He's got a weird home life as well. I want to say roommate, maybe. Rosemary. At first, I thought maybe it was his mom. But he's got a very 1983 house with like the obtrusive house plants all over the place and the glass walls. And he goes in there and he sees a lady, quote unquote, meditating. She was asleep, obviously.
Yeah.
On a couch. And he's like, "Hey, are you sleeping?" And she's like, "No, I'm meditating." He's like, "Okay, good night, Rosemary." Roommate, you think? Not
maybe.
I wouldn't say girlfriend or. Unless it's a very weird, she kind of acted like his mom, but I don't know. Very strange home life.
Mm.
And then just to show what an anal retentive prick this guy is, we're gonna watch him get ready for bed. And to do this, he takes like a 15 Ambien and lays them all out on the kitchen counter.
It has to be mom or wife because they have the same last name.
Or sister, maybe.
Or maybe sister.
I don't know. She doesn't get off the couch.
No.
Until right before, well, we'll get to that. But for the, like 99% of the movie, she's on the couch in the same position. I was starting to think maybe she was paralyzed or something. But eventually she moves around, so there's that. Anyway, he takes like 15 Ambien to go to sleep, and he does so in a very OCD fashion. Something clearly is not right with Dr. Niall to begin with. All right, now we're going to cut to the next day. Again, he goes right back into the Arborius Institute and starts questioning Elena.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she's not acknowledging him, and he's like, "How can I make your life easier? What can I do to get you to participate?
Let me out of this room."
Yeah. How about you let me get on with my fucking life, you asshole?
Right.
Well, how about I'm not part of your weirdo cult? But she replies in a telepathic fashion, like gets in his head and tells him what she wants.
Yeah.
And every time she uses her psychic powers, I thought there was something wrong with my TV. Because the whole thing, got like,
shaky.
It gets all fucked up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It made my eyes hurt watching that, too. I was, like, going to put my sunglasses on or something.
Right.
But she gets into
a seizure.
Yeah. But she gets in his head, and she's like, "I want to see my father." Apparently, Dr. Niall is really into Elena, because every time she uses her powers, he almost has, like, an orgasm or something. He's like, and then he's like, "Oh, I can't let you see your dad. You're very sick, and you need to get better first."
Mm-hmm.
She didn't appear sick to me. She looked bored and depressed.
Yeah.
In that regard, I suppose she's ill. So that's kind of cool, I guess. Then he leaves again for the day, and now we're going to meet his little research assistant. Very angry young lady. Not young, actually. Older lady. Overweight. Does a lot of smoking, but in 1983, apparently, you could smoke anywhere at any time.
Right.
And there was no stigma attached to it. So she's, like, working on her DOS computer with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. Reminiscent of Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Dr. Niall has left for the day. The assistant is still there. She's kind of tidying up her workspace. Walks by Dr. Niall's office and realizes that he left his desk safe open. Curiosity gets the better of her, so she goes poking around in there, comes across his research notes, or maybe just a weirdo diary that he was keeping about Elena.
Right.
So she does a little browsing there, and what she finds is like a bunch of pornographic drawings with like weird warrior dudes with huge wieners.
Yeah.
Some pictures of Elena, like microfilm. What else? Like weird, like sex ed type of diagrams of penises and vaginas.
You know what was going through his mind?
No, I don't actually. Well, I mean, clearly he wanted to fuck Elena, right? I get that, but like, do you need a diagram of a urethra to figure out what you're going to... I have to assume he's a virgin, right?
Probably.
Well, I mean, we'll find out, get a better idea what's going on with this dude later, but... very strange. She's like looking at this going, "What the fuck is this weirdo?" She goes to put it back, and unfortunately, because she's a chain smoker, she leaves some cigarette ash on the
it looked like a turd.
I was like, that is disgusting. You know, it's 1983. You just assume that that's what's going to happen. So the next morning he comes in and he sees the ash and he realizes he left his safe open, and he gets the idea that somebody's been poking around in his office. Mm-hmm. So he goes in and questions her, and she plays it pretty cool, and she's like, yeah, I don't know. He knows it's her. It's obvious. Right. He's like, you know, like shoulder massaging her from behind, but being very aggressive about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he orchestrates this little scenario. Well, I don't know. I think he did orchestrate it, or maybe he just happened upon the scene. But what happens is the research assistant goes in to give Elena her morning meal, goes in there, finds Elena looking at a picture of her mom. Now, this research assistant is a right bitch bag.
Mm-hmm.
So she gives her the meal, and she's like, oh, who's that, a picture of your mom? And she takes a picture away from Elena, and then Elena doesn't respond because she doesn't really speak.
Right.
And she's like, nah, well, you'll never see her again. And she crumples up the picture and starts walking out. This pisses Elena right off.
Oh, yeah.
So this, I'm a little shaky on this part, but from what I gather, there is this weird roller disco light pyramid somewhere in this building,
mm-hmm.
and it somehow inhibits Elena's powers.
Yeah,
but Dr. Niall is watching this interaction via the security cams. He sees Elena get pissed. He's about had it with the research assistant because she's snooping around. So he turns the power down on the roller disco pyramid,
mm-hmm.
which gives Elena her control of her full power.
Right,
which Elena then uses, I think, to pop the eyeballs
yeah.
of the research assistant that's what and kill I got her.
Out. Yeah.
All right, so that's cool. So finally somebody got killed. This is like an hour into the movie. We get this finally, something finally fucking happens. All right, so that happens. After that, he cranks the light pyramid thing back up.
Calms her powers.
Yeah, and Elena kind of spazzes out for a second. I think she kind of like fell into a, not a coma, but kind of passed out on the floor.
Yeah.
So now Dr. Niall has himself a bit of a mess to clean up because there's a dead research assistant, minus her eyeballs, in Elena's safety cell. Mm-hmm. So what he has to do is he goes into his DOS computer and initiates some kind of a Sentinel program, which basically means that he has to get in a motocross outfit, which yeah. I don't know what that's all about. He gets in like this weird, well, he's got a weird thing for leather, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
He gets into this weird motocross outfit complete with helmet, uh-huh. and then he goes in there, takes the body of the research assistant out, cleans up the place, puts Elena in her bed, and then comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Easy enough. Okay. So that's pretty weird. I mean, now he's, I guess he's a murderer, but we see that Elena has like some real power to her.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what we need to do is consult, the big boss about what to do next and probably bring him up to speed on the situation. We need to talk to Dr. Arborius himself.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like, okay, I'm going to go. First, he meets this other random blonde lady who, I don't know, maybe she was like some kind of an administrator or something. She's like,
yeah.
Hey, I got to go talk to the boss about what to do with this stuff. So he goes down to the basement of the Arborius Institute where we actually get to see Dr. Arborius.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a bag of bones. Looks like he's on his last leg.
Yeah.
Dope fiend, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
His new favorite pastime is shooting up what I assume is heroin and then watching half-ass 1983 nature documentaries.
Right.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much bedridden. I think he had some kind of disease or something. He doesn't look anything like he did in that opening infomercial. Mm-mm. He looks terrible. But what's his name? Niall goes down there and he's like, well, we have a situation. Your daughter accidentally killed one of the research assistants. And Arborius just starts spouting gibberish about nature documentaries and all this horse shit. He gets like a brief moment of clarity where he's like, hey, how about you go ahead and shoot me up and put on the Hawaii nature documentary and why don't you put a little extra in there so I don't wake up this time. And Niall's like, that's probably a good idea because you're a hot mess, my friend. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and kill you. I'm going to overdose you on this heroin, put you out of everybody's misery. So yeah. That's what he does. Right after he shoots him up, he kind of like Niall starts looking at this weird plant, and then he goes into this weird flashback about how, apparently about how he came to the Arboreus Institute, I think.
Yeah.
So now we're going to jump back to 1966, and we're going to get a quick flashback of Arboreus dosing Niall with what I assume is LSD, like a heavy dose.
Right.
I'm assuming that because he applies it with a medicine dropper to his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have like a pair of sunglasses handy, now's a good time to put them on.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is going to blow up your TV.
Right.
And possibly your frontal lobe. I don't know how to explain. It's like an acid trip, dude.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of Niall like throwing up black liquid and covering himself. And then there's like a weird montage of his face melting off into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to white on white and you can't really see what's going on. And then somebody drawing a third eye on his forehead. And then him being...
Which looked like a sticker.
It did. It probably was, now that I think about it. Yeah. And then him submerging himself in some kind of thick, syrupy liquid. And there you go. Yeah. That's about it. So then we come out of the flashback, and then Niall's like, oh, okay. And then he kind of goes home. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to assume, and I'm making a lot of assumptions here because there's not a lot of story, I have to assume that killing Arboreus actually had some kind of an emotional effect on Niall. Because he goes home, he talks to Rosemary for a second, then he goes to his room, and we find out that his whole demeanor is completely false.
Yeah.
He's wearing a wig. He's wearing contacts.
Mm-hmm.
His eyebrows are fake. I don't think he has any body hair on him at all.
Probably not.
I don't know. But he takes all this stuff off, and what we're basically left with is Max Schreck from Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Except not as attractive.
Right.
Which is a sad state of affairs. Yeah. And then he's got like this closet full of weird leather outfits. Not necessarily S&M. But just like weird leather body suits, I think, and
yeah,
jumpers and stuff. So he puts all this crap on and he comes out. And now he doesn't have, he's completely shaved, no hair. His eyeballs looked weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were like straight black or if they had like googly eyes or something like that.
There's something weird about him.
Something crazy. He comes out and Rosemary's like, oh, hey, Barry, what are you doing? Hey, ooh, you don't have any of your stuff on. And because this is Beyond the Black Rainbow, we get like a 10-minute montage of him slowly walking towards her,
yeah,
out of the doorway. And she's like, oh, no, you look good. And then he pulls her close. And I thought they were going to make out for a second. But then he gives her a hug. And then he just buries his thumbs in her eye sockets and kills her.
Yeah.
Okay, so clearly Dr. Niall went off the deep end here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably went off a long time ago, but now he's just accepted that he's gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
Goes back to the Arboreus Institute, decides that he's going to, I guess, put the Mac down on old, what's her name there, Elena.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that after he got rid of the research assistant's dead body, he didn't close the fucking door.
Whoops.
So now Elena is up. She's recovered from the pass out the feigning spell she had, mm-hmm, after that, and now she's pretty much just roaming the halls of the Arboreus Institute,
and not very fast.
No, and I don't think there was anybody else there.
No.
There's that one blonde lady that he talked to for 2 seconds. Apparently she went home. There is something else there, but yeah, we're gonna get to that in a second. We get like at least a good 15 to 20 minutes of her just slowly walking down the halls, like looking around corners, because this is this weird psychedelic thing. There's like an orange hallway where all, mm-hmm, the lights are orange, and then there's like a blue hallway. And how discombobulating would it be to work there? You know, I mean, you're going from all these colored rooms. You're like, God damn it.
I'd feel like one of the patients working.
Yeah, there. I'd go crazy myself. That's, yeah, probably what the problem was. They need some decent track lighting in there.
Right.
Fuck. Anyway. So, yeah, we get like 20 minutes of her just roaming the halls of the Arboreus Institute. He gets there finally, realizes she's not in her cell. Instead of putting any effort into finding her, he starts sniffing her sheets in a very pervert kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
Surely she
has tracking her scent.
She has a panty drawer somewhere in this place, right? Well, why don't you start there?
Right. There's a camera on her. You know where she leaves it.
I mean,
it.
I'm thinking out loud here, Barry. That's all I'm doing. So he's like, okay, yeah, she's out and she's walking around. She walks past another. Well, first she like gets into a elevator shaft, has to do like a James Bond routine, Mission Impossible thing to get around it into a different hallway, and then she walks past another safety cell. There's somebody in there or something, I don't know, but it kind of like starts crawling. It looks like a human that is. Kind of looks like one of the things from The Hills Have Eyes if it was forced to take a shower and live in this institute. I guess. I don't know how else to explain. It looks like a mutated human that is batshit crazy and could possibly rape you or just lick you to death.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, was his motivation. Mm-hmm. He starts crawling after her, but she gets out and closes the safety cell glass barrier behind her. And then this thing just kind of starts licking and pawing at the glass. All right. And then she's like, oh, well, close one, I guess. I'll just keep moseying.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Niall is watching her on the closed circuit cam. Apparently this Boreas Institute is like a huge compound. Because right in the middle of it is this big, atrium kind of a thing. Like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
Like a nature.
It reminded me of Biodome.
Yeah, kind of. She gets in there and she's wandering around and she's like, oh, trees and plants, and there's like a creek. And then she spots an air conditioning duct and just kind of crawls out and boom, she's completely out of the building.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Now she's just out walking around in the night. Aboreus is on her trail. Or not Aboreus. Niall is on her trail. He gets out. He sees her, which air duct she left from. So he's got a pretty good idea where she's going. So he's just out walking around on foot, looking like a Nosferatu, leather-clad Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Now we're going to cut to like a weird two guys drinking at a campfire situation,
having
beers and listening to cassette tapes.
Uh-huh.
This is the high point of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
For me. These guys are having a great time. One of them steps away from the campfire to go take a leak, and he gets accosted by Niall. Niall's like, he just kills this guy straight up. The other guy's still by the campfire getting hammered. Niall creeps up on him and puts a knife to his throat. And he's like, where's the girl? Where's the girl? And the guy's like pissing his pants. He's like, I don't know anything about a girl. I don't know what's happening. I don't know you. I don't know anything. And then Niall gets all freaky. He's like, you fucked her. You fucked her, didn't you? And then he kills that guy. And he turns to leave. And just as he's turning to leave, he spots Elena, who is just standing there watching this whole thing. Thanks a lot, bitch. You could have saved these two metalheads.
Yeah.
Instead, you just stood there. So now Niall's got like this big knife and he's walking towards Elena and then he just stops and he's like, come on, you got to come home with me. I love you so much. I've always been in love with you. You got to come home with me, Elena. And then I'm not 100% sure what happened. Either A, he just fell and hit his head and it killed him. Or B, she used her powers to like tangle his feet up and knock him over and crack his head open on a rock.
I don't know, because they showed the ground on that scene.
And right.
It looked like, at first I thought he hit like a bear trap or something.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, he just,
yeah, he just kinda,
it's like his shoelaces were tied together.
Yeah, he just randomly falls over and hits his head on a rock.
Crack.
And cracks his head open and he's dead. And then Elena's just standing there. And then the camera pulls back and you see that she's actually right across the street from a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's the end of your movie there, buddy.
Oh, boy.
What did you think of Beyond the Black Rainbow?
Oh, man. That was terrible. That's got to be one of the worst ones I've seen.
There's not a lot of story here, dude. It's visually striking.
In some ways, bad ways.
It's, dude.
I mean, there's visually striking movies that are really good, and this visual striking was terrible.
It was like visually striking me in the face.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Right?
That whole flashback sequence was, I had to avert my eyes a few times.
I did
it was
too.
Starting to hurt my fucking eyeballs.
Yeah.
This is an hour and 50 minutes we're talking about. This could have easily been cut down to probably an hour. Hour 20, if you want to put some more characters, some more story in there. I don't know, man. I feel like the whole thing is a big allegory for Scientology. I'm kind of curious, you know. I'm not going to go to a fucking meeting or anything, but you know, I'm fascinated with the topic, but at the same time there's just no story here, dude. It's this drug-addled pseudo research scientist. I don't even know if that part was true or not. And he's in love with the boss's daughter, who happens to have some psychic ability. And unfortunately, he spins out of control and starts killing people. And then she gets out and has to put him down. There you go. That's your movie.
Ta-da!
Fuck, man. All right. If you got an hour and 50 minutes to kill and you don't want to think about a movie, you just want to see like a lot of cool lights...
Watch it at night. Turn off all the lights and you have a little disco show.
Yeah, if you have like some kind of a mental disorder or like a light aversion, don't watch this.
Yeah.
This will send you right into a head spin.
Yeah.
And don't do any drugs before you watch this.
Or maybe do them.
But, you know, that might actually make it, that might make it make sense.
Right?
Maybe I should try that. I don't know. I get drug tested at work. I can't even do that. Fuck. That's Beyond the Black Rainbow, Inmates. Check it out. I mean, it got 6 stars on IMDb. Clearly, some people like this movie.
Oh, wow.
I'm not one of them. I don't know. This is my 3rd attempt at watching this one. God. I've never made it all the way through until last night. I don't know why I picked it, to be honest with you. I thought maybe there was a hidden gem at the end of this thing. Is not.
No.
It's not. Not for me.
It's those two guys at the campfire.
We should have had a whole movie about them.
Right?
You know? That would have been
Entertaining.
Yeah. Something to see. I'm sure they're going to concerts and stuff. All right, inmates. We're going to take us a little break. Come back with some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
G'day, mate. Welcome to Australia. Home of baby-eating dingoes. 100 different animals ready to kill ya. Mick Taylor, Mick Dundee, and 20 other guys called Mick. Oh, and the dumbest bloke on planet Earth.
I'm Ben, and I'm here to learn about horror films.
But fear not, I've come to help this poor special needs kid as I make him sit down and watch some of the greatest and not so greatest horror films out there in our podcast, Horror for Dummies.
Hooray!
So join us every week on the Padded Room Network as we talk about horror films, old and new, and listen to some favourite tracks while we spray some spiders. So the question stands, where the bloody hell are ya?
So jump onto your kangaroo and hop on over to the Padded Room Network.
Catch a new episode of Horror for Dummies every Friday or whenever the hell Darian Brock likes to put them out.
Psst. Hey you. Do you like the Tales from the Crypt series? Do you like spooky things in general? Then check out the Good Evening Kitties podcast. That's Good Evening Kitties podcast. GOODEVENINGKIDDIES podcast. Each week, I'll review a new episode from the TV series The Tales from the Crypt. Find me on Podbay, Podbean, or iTunes. That's the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Check it out today.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, man.
I don't know that I can do another one of those movies.
No.
I don't mind like a psychological kind of you got to think about it movie, but not where it's like inundating your
well, you can't think.
No, because there's too much fucking flashing yeah. and lights and psychedelic shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much, man.
Yeah.
And it didn't need to be an hour and 50 minutes.
No, that was way too long for
like
that.
A good half hour of that was just tapping of a pen.
Yeah.
Staring. A lot of staring. Whoa, staring.
Horny breathing.
Horny breathing. If you need some horny breathing, inmates, let me tell you where to go.
He was thirsty.
Oh, he's some kind of thirsty, man. Get him a fucking glass of water, for Christ's sakes. Guy's parched. Are you ready to get into the Terra Dome, amigo?
I sure am.
Let's do it. It's Terra Dome time.
Hell yeah.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I tried to be crazy. I'll kill you all. I'll make your worst dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale emotion. Face with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terra Dome.
Started off with last week's winners. Singles competition. We had Frederick Von Kruger versus the abominable Dr. Fibes. What? Oh, fuck. Dr. Fibes knew what it would take to dispel the sleep demon. Find the fiend's remains and bury them in consecrated grounds. He'd even found the maps pointing to the old junkyard where the bones lay. What Fibes didn't know was the reach of the demon. The journey from England was long, and the doctor would have to spend most of it asleep in his casket. Asleep and dreaming. Asleep, never to wake again. With a vote of 16-9, Freddie wins.
That gave me the chills, man.
You like that?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I put some theatrics into it. Let's take a look at the team's competition. We had the Puppet Master Dolls versus the Firefly family. By daybreak, it was all over. The clown was dead, throat slashed ear to ear, the truck driver drained dry by leeches. The giant had fallen and been tunneled through and through. Even the psycho had met his demise, set ablaze and left a flail in the old farmhouse. By the time Sheriff Waddell arrived to arrest the Fireflies, the bodies were silently decomposing, and the puppets sitting demurely in the old trunk. With a vote of 18-7, the puppets advance over the Firefly family.
Wow.
I'm just glad I don't have to say Firefly family anymore.
Like a tongue twister?
That is. Yeah. You gotta, like, enunciate and pronounce it out. It's a pain in the ass. Looks like nobody had either one of those two, so everybody's safe for last week.
All right.
Let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we? As usual, inmates, bear with me. I'm not very good at writing things. Blood was power. Blood was life. Vlad understood that better than anyone. In the centuries gone by since his dark embrace, he drained countless mortals, each one giving their very existence to sustain his. But he's no longer so easily satisfied. Humans were great for getting by, but to truly satisfy his thirst and provide real power, he needed something more potent, something more than human. Throughout the course of his immortality, Vlad had encountered many others that were more or less than human, beings with supernatural abilities that lived outside the reality of human existence, but still managed to thrive among them. Just beyond the walls of his ruined castle, for instance, a local from a small village, bitten by a wolf about a year ago. Now, once a month during the full moon, he would change his shape to that of a human-wolf hybrid and roam the Carpathian foothills in search of weary travelers. On this night, he just might find one, and Vlad just might taste the blood of a lycanthrope. Singles competition, we have Dracula versus the Wolf Man.
Oh, man. I like this battle.
Me too. I feel like Dracula should win, but I'm going to take the Wolfman anyway, just because I'm a werewolf kind of a guy. Buddy, what do you think?
I'm a Dracula kind of
guy. God damn it, buddy. That's a tie game. It's one for one, Wolfman and Dracula. Let's take a look at the teams competition, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
New Briar Township, 1804. The witches had taken their revenge. The first of the townsfolk had disappeared just after the fall harvest, just after the sky flash. He returned from the woods a few days later, not remembering where he went or what had happened. A few hours after that, the devil itself made its presence known. It burst right out of the poor man's chest and fled back to the forest. The women on the outskirts of town had caught the blame. The Coven of Strife, they called themselves, and they'd done a good job of keeping the townspeople in check. The ladies had drawn suspicion when they stopped going to church, drew hatred and fear when they started painting their faces and wearing strange symbols. But now this. The people of New Briar Township were sure that the coven was to blame. A lynch mob is quickly formed. Torches, pitchforks, and other farming implements are brandished. More witchcraft as the mob makes its way out of town. A field of curious and revolting egg sacks. More work of the witches, for sure. Teams competition, we have the Xenomorphs versus the Witch's Coven, buddy. What do you think of that one?
That would crack me up. I'm going to go with Xenomorphs on that
I had
one.
A feeling you would. You know what? I'm going to take the witches. Why not? Why not go with the witches? They'll put a fucking curse on them. Make them only three inches tall. How about that shit? 3-inch tall xenomorph. You squash them like bugs.
It worked for the Puppet Master dolls.
Sorta. In a weird way. In a kind of a roundabout fashion. Those are your Tarot Dome matchups for the weekend, mates and singles. We had the Wolfman versus Dracula. Teams is the Xenomorphs versus the Witch's Coven. As usual, get us your votes by next week if you can. The Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or you get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Or if you just want to tell us what's up, let us know how your day is going. Tell us what cool movies you watched. Maybe you know who Monica is. I still don't know who Monica is from last week. Or talk about immersion therapy, whatever you want to do. And while you're thinking about that, we're going to tell you what movies we watched this week in a little segment we call What Are You Looking At?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
The Oregonian from 2011. I've been trying to get you and Monica to watch this so you could tell me what the fuck the movie is about.
Okay.
It's very strange. It's on Shudder. I was thinking about doing it for next week's features.
To make us watch it.
Yeah, just to finally get some goddamn answers about this thing. But after watching Beyond the Black Rainbow, I decided to go a different route.
Okay.
I don't want to piss you off 2 weeks in a row. It's a very strange movie, man. Close as I can tell, a young lady is living on a farm in Oregon. Her husband starts accusing her of a bunch of shit and then attacks her. So she kills him in self-defense and then just kind of walks around Oregon in this kind of bloody mental funk and starts seeing weird shit. And there's a guy in a big frog outfit. Like a NCAA, like he works at Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Weird.
Type of a thing. And he just shows up and he's got a shotgun. Huh. It's very strange, man. Low budget as shit, but a weird movie. I rewatched It from 2017.
Nice.
It still is good, I think. Still holds up. Sometimes you see a horror movie in a theater and you're like, oh, badass.
And you watch it.
And then you watch it
TV.
Yeah, at your house and you're like, ah, fuck. Not this time. I still think it's badass.
Awesome.
I got it on Blu-ray. I'm glad I did. Last week, Monica mentioned a movie called Ghostland, or The Incident in Ghostland. You remember that?
Yeah.
From the same director that did Martyrs, Pascal something or other. Watched it. Pretty good show. This dude really likes to kick the shit out of hot chicks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what happened in Martyrs.
Yeah.
The two hot chicks beat the fuck out of him. Same thing here. Something that's kind of interesting about this guy that I really dig. It's kind of unnerving and unsettling, but these chicks get worked over, and in a regular movie, or even in most horror movies, the hot chick will get beat up, and then she'll stand up, and she'll have like a little thing of blood coming out of her nose, and that's it. That's it. That's as beat up as she got.
Right.
No matter how brutal the beating was, that's all you get is a little thing of blood.
Right.
This one, dude, their faces get mashed and twisted and swollen, and fucking teeth come out, and it's pretty heavy.
Damn.
But it's pretty good. I understand what Monica was saying last week about what exactly happened here. I don't want to spoil it, but I got a pretty good idea of what went down. At the end, it kind of makes sense if you're paying attention.
Okay.
H.P. Lovecraft makes an appearance in it.
Wow.
But the guy they got to play H.P. Lovecraft looks more like Bruce Campbell than H.P. Lovecraft. He's got like a really stupid big chin thing, which looks good on Bruce Campbell.
Right.
But this is clearly a prosthetic chin.
Hmm.
So I was like, is this guy one of the Nightbreed or what?
Wow.
I don't know, man. Still a pretty good show. I liked it quite a bit. Lastly, I watched Evolution from 2015. This one's on Netflix right now. Kind of weird. Close as I can tell, this would fit into the Black Rainbow category. Close as I can tell, there's like a village of chicks and kids somewhere, maybe Sweden or Iceland, and they all devolve into fish people at some point. When the kids get old enough, they start growing gills and fins stuff. It's very strange.
Hmm.
And a lot of visuals, not a lot of story there. Worth checking out. I don't know if I'd even call it a horror movie now that I think about it.
Okay.
But that's all I'm looking at, buddy. You get anything in this week?
Yeah, I was able to watch the movie The Plan.
The Plan. What is that?
Yeah, it's a 2017. Checked it out on the Rabbit app. And it's basically these college kids that go to Italy.
Okay.
And apparently there's this chick way in the past that was like hung and like witchcraft or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And so they find her body. And well, since they found her body, her spirit comes alive and she kills, you know.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
It is all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's all I watched.
That's all you watched? Very cool. Let's talk a little immersion therapy, shall we?
Yeah.
Immersion therapy.
There's a couple of things that I've become wary of, especially since doing this podcast. Weird open-ended scenes that don't seem to fit into the narrative. You know what I mean? Like, and this is a good example of one, because you got that bullying incident at the skate park,
right?
And then you got the kid, and then he's just kind of like hitting the bottle of Jack Daniels at that weird waterfall creek situation, and then from there he just appears back at the skate park.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's curious. That's something to think about.
Caught it at that one.
Did you? Yeah. I didn't catch it just then. I caught it at the Dia de los Muertos party.
And I'm like, yeah,
this dude keeps showing up. Why is he following these kids around?
Right.
That was a badass cover of the Live song, though. I thought that was dope.
Oh, yeah.
It
was a good soundtrack, really.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good tunes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, like, they go to the magic tree with all the toys.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. All right, there you. Cool. Now I get you.
Yeah.
Very sad movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get a chance to check it out, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But I don't know if you really call this a horror movie. More like a teen drama, perhaps.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I guess there technically is a ghost involved in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. I mean, it's very. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
It kind of painted Australian Halloween just like ours. You know, big block party.
Yeah.
Kids creating problems. So
TPing houses.
TPing houses, throwing eggs. I hope that's the way it is there now, as opposed to when Tim was growing up. Sounded like a bit of a drag for Tim.
Right?
Yeah, that sucks. Oh, now we get a cool Halloween. Now that I'm too old to trick or treat.
Yeah, right.
Well, the good news, Tim, is that we all have kids, so we get to take them trick-or-treating and kind of live vicariously through them.
That's right.
I thought it's worth checking out. I don't know that it's a horror movie. A little bit of a bummer there at the end. Kind of pulled on the heartstrings a little bit. And, yeah, not a bad show. What'd you think, buddy?
I liked it, actually.
Pretty good show?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. All right, man. What do you got for us this week?
All right. This week, let's check out 2018's Tau. It is written by Noga Landau. Directed by Federico Di Alessandro, and stars Micah Monroe, Ed Skrein, Gary Oldman, and Fiston Barrick.
Very cool.
Gary Oldman.
Fiston. Oh, you immature fuck. Check that out, inmates. We'll do the same and get back to you next week. This is normally where we would educate Miss Monica. We have no Miss Monica to educate, obviously. No. I have no idea who she is.
Me either.
I'm not going to ask her because I'm not going to admit defeat just yet, buddy.
I got another week
to ponder it.
Yep. And go. Everybody's got another
That's
week.
Right. I might do a little Googling. I will not Google. I refuse to do that. Do that, at least in regards to Monica. But since we're a little low, we're actually a little early, why don't we get into a little werewolf action, shall we?
Yeah.
The Company of Wolves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Buddy, you're looking well, my friend. What are you doing? Another coffee cleanse?
No.
Are you not doing it? Are you drinking coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Did you lose some weight or anything?
No, gained weight.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It doesn't show.
Thanks.
Yeah. What are you not? Well, it's because you took a day off.
Yeah.
See what happens?
Actually, it was that whole vacation. I actually gained like 10 pounds.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I've been eating like shit too. Fucking kid's birthday party. Took him to Chuck E. Cheese last night. They actually got decent pizza there. Wow. So naturally, I had to eat a whole large one to myself, along with some chicken wings and have some like three sodas. Because I'm a disgusting filth pig, buddy. But so now I got to get back on my... I didn't go full... what do you call there? What Crackhouse Matt does? Keto?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ketogenic, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I didn't go full keto. I just kind of have been a little more mindful of carbs and trying to cut back. Not doing the Danishes in the morning like I used to.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Egg McMuffin or the Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Biscuit from McDonald's.
Making me hungry.
Which are fucking beautiful. Exactly, right?
Right.
God damn, man. On a cold morning, is there anything better than an Egg McMuffin or a Sausage, Egg, and Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Biscuit?
Oh, man.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But it will turn you into a fat slob very quickly.
Right.
You got to watch out for that shit, man. Beef jerky, eating a lot of that. It's expensive, but it's pretty good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts, not too many. You immature shit. You immature fucker.
What?
Nuts, carrots, eat a lot of carrots. That's helping me cut weight. I haven't weighed myself in a couple of months. I try to avoid that because I don't want to get caught up in the numbers game.
Oh, yeah.
But I've noticed that my shorts are a lot looser, and I'm a big fan of that, buddy. Wish I had a bigger penis to keep him up. Other than that, man, I think that's about all we got. Drink some water, inmates. And hey, how about this? If you don't feel good, like mentally, ask somebody for some help. You know, you don't have to keep all that shit bottled up. If you don't have like any positive influences in your life, there's plenty of like mental health hotlines, real ones, not ours. On ours, all we're going to do is make fun of you, so don't call ours if you need help. But there are a lot of resources out there. It's just one Google search away, and you can find somebody to talk to professionally at no charge, and that is willing to listen to whatever you have to say, and help you work through your issues. So let's just bear in mind moving forward that tomorrow is going to come. The sun is going to rise, and you will have another chance at a better day. I think that's about as eloquently as I'm going to put it.
Yeah.
Buddy, sorry. you got anything else on the week, amigo?
See, 4th of July tomorrow.
Happy 4th of July, yeah, happy everybody. 4th. Don't blow your fucking hand off with the firecrackers out there.
Yeah. Right.
I know you're thinking about doing it. Just don't.
If you have dogs, make sure leave a little TV on or radio on or something, so that way it helps with the noise effect. And you can also give them some Benadryl, because that'll kind of calm them down a little
bit. Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't overdose on Benadryl either. Oh. So if you give them a little Benadryl, that'll help.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And take a look at their vaginas every now and then. If there's some weird seepage coming out of there, get them to the vet. You don't know what that is. You don't know what these fucking dogs are doing when you're not paying attention. You know? Now, Monica's probably going to have at least a $300 to $400 vet bill.
Oh, man.
Probably already has it. Probably found out her dog has septus or some shit. Mm. Chlamydia.
Contracted.
Fucking contracted dog is what it is. That is a customer you do not want.
No.
You don't want that. Especially her dogs. They're the size of goddamn dire wolves.
Oh, yeah.
They'll knock you over, have their way with you, and now you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking shit, man. That's a horror movie in and of itself.
Right.
All right, inmates. Join us next week for Coherence 2014 here on Shudder Month in the Padded Room. Yeah. As usual, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you found this. That always helps us out a lot. How about a 5-star review on iTunes? That's a good starting point. But if you feel like kicking it up a notch, we do have a Patreon campaign running. Lots of bonus swag and prize stuff and bonus content over there. Patreon.com/paddedroompod is where you find all that stuff. In the meantime, I think that's about it for us. Do you have anything else, buddy?
No.
Join us next week, inmates, for Coherence. For Buddy, Miss Monica in Absentia, and the Padded Room Podcast. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Have a great week.